Hello, this is Lincoln reading for you the Iroquois County Times-Republic for Thursday, August 21st, 2025. Starting at the top of the page, Bibbit Fest marks year two celebration by Carla Waters, managing editor. Beaverville celebrated with Bibbit Fest for a second year in a row. The event was August 16th and featured a number of things for people to do in spite of the weather, which went from very hot to torrential rain. The day opened with the Fireman's Breakfast from 7 to 10 a.m. and then had bingo, a vendor fair, food trucks, a beer tent, bags tournament, and a kids zone. The kids' zone included a tattoo parlor, bounce houses, games, and more. Proceeds from that event went to the Martinton Food Pantry. Live music included Jerry Downs and James Michael Travis Band. The event was created last year to honor Daryl Bibbit LaFond, who was a Beaverville community supporter. Mandy McNeely, owner of the Beaverville Pub, said of her father, "Everyone knew my dad." In talking about how the event got started last year, McNeely said the event evolved from a group of people talking about wanting to do something for the community. "One thing led to another. We just reached out to our people. We knew their specialties, and everyone was super eager to help us out," she said. "That's just how we do things around here. We had people volunteering and people wanting to sponsor." The festival's namesake was well known, she said. "He played softball. He farmed. He was from this community, but he made his rounds. We used to go up north every year shopping for my kids for Christmas shopping. Somebody up there would even know him. Everywhere we went, somebody knew who Bibbit was. A lot of people didn't know his real name was Daryl. They just thought his name was Bibbit. When I'd say Daryl LaFond, they didn't even know who I was talking about. He also coached Little League and was a member of the Beaverville Lions Club when it was active. There's a lot of good Little League stories that people have shared with me," she said. "That's what it's all about. Everybody comes back and talks, shares stories, and spends time together," she said last year about the event. As for the nickname Bibbit, she said many people ask where it originated. She said she's been told it means little bug, little mosquito, or little rodent in loose French translation. "He was the youngest of three, so I don't know if it comes from that because he was the baby. He was quite a few years younger than his older brother and sister. Maybe that's what they called him. Maybe they called him Bibbit because he was a pest, because he was the younger brother." One important part of the day again this year was serving Boudin blood sausage, which is important to people in the Beaverville area. Old Settlers. Area residents showcase talents at Old Settlers Talent Show by Jordan Crook. Area residents took the stage August 14th to showcase their talents at the Old Settlers Reunion Talent Show in Cisna Park. 19 contestants competed in three different categories during the show. The age categories were junior, senior, and adult. The junior division winners were Toby, Olivia, Micah, and Annalise Hall of Loda in third place for their performance of "You've Got a Friend in Me." Vivian Swalls took second place for her performance of "Cups," and Isaac Heaton of Cisna Park placed first for his piano solo of "His Dark Materials." The senior division winners were Lexi Wilms of Clifton and Amelia Hodel of Cisna Park took third place for their piano duet of "Fantasia" in F minor. Kinsey Keller of Gilman placed second for her vocal solo of House of the Rising Sun, and Paige Miller took first place for her vocal solo performance of Waiting on a Wish. The adult division winners were the Life Church Group, placed third for their performance of I Speak Jesus using sign language and flags. Steve and Jennifer Hall of Loda took second place for their performance of Edelweiss, with Stephen providing vocals and Jennifer playing the harp. And Bethany Merkel of Cisna Park won first place for her vocal solo of Fire and Rain. Fried Green Tomato Festival, conducted at Iroquois Dunning Park, by Carla Waters, managing editor. The Fried Green Tomato Festival saw people enjoying food, music, and a car show, and more, August 16th. The annual event was conducted at Dunning Park. The music lineup included James Michael Travis, Stacy Beam, Everingham Pittman, Soft Step, Jeff Pittman Project, Coon Creek, and Lefty. People sat under the shade trees or in the pavilion as they listened to music and enjoyed the fried green tomatoes and other food offerings. The festival draws people from around the area each year, with many coming from Indiana as well as Illinois. The Forbidden Pool was also conducted in memory of Aaron and Angie Taylor of Iroquois. Failed hot water fitting found to be cause of fire call to resident home in Watsika, from staff reports. A steam line in a bathroom at a local resident home was the cause of a Watsika fire call the night of August 18th. According to information from Fire Chief Ken Beyer, no one was injured. Watsika Fire Department was paged at 6:04 p.m. for a reported fire at Iroquois Resident Home in Watsika. On arrival, there was a room that had the door shut, and it sounded like the sprinkler was going off in that room, he said in his report. With further investigation, the door was slightly opened. There was zero visibility with high heat in that room. Beyer said he requested additional personnel to the scene and evacuation of the residents' home until it could be determined what the issue was. Upon investigation from the fire crews, it was determined to be a steam line in the bathroom, Beyer said. The line was able to be isolated and the room cleared. Once it was determined that there were no hazards to the residents, they were let back in, and all fire companies returned. The cause was determined to be a hot water fitting that failed and released steam into the room. Along with Watsika Fire Department, fire departments from Crescent, Woodland, Sheldon, Milford, and Martinton, and Riverside Ambulance responded. Iroquois County businessman honored by Illinois Bankers Association, Dateline Watsika. Iroquois Federal was proud to announce that Alan Martin, member of its board of directors and former president / CEO, has been honored by the Illinois Bankers Association for an extraordinary 50 years of service to the banking industry in Illinois. According to information from the bank, the award was presented by IBA President / CEO Randy Hultgren and IBA Board Chair T.J. Berge, recognizing Martin's decades-long legacy of leadership, integrity, and dedication to the communities Iroquois Federal serves. Martin began his career with Iroquois Federal in June of 1973, quickly earning the trust and respect of colleagues and customers alike. He served as president and chief executive officer from 1999 to 2015, joined the board of directors in 2001, and has been part of the IF Bank Corp board since its inception. He currently serves on the Iroquois Federal Foundation Board, where he was president from 2011 to 2017. Beyond Iroquois Federal, Martin's industry contributions include service on the Federal Reserve Bank of Chicago Depository Advisory Council and the Illinois League of Financial Services Trust Board. His leadership has left an indelible mark on both the institution and the broader banking community. Iroquois Federal has become known for developing great leaders through the years, and Alan Martin is one of those leaders, providing that leadership for over 50 years, 52 plus, in the same organization is quite an accomplishment, and therefore he is very deserving of this award. I am grateful for the opportunity to have been mentored by Alan and to continue to work with him now at the board level, said Walter Chip Hasselbring III, current CEO and chairman of Iroquois Federal. The IBA's 50 Years of Service Award is one of the association's highest honors, recognizing exceptional individuals whose careers have strengthened the industry and enriched the communities they serve. Induction into the 50-year club marks a milestone of professional excellence and personal dedication. Founded in 1883, Iroquois Federal has more than 887 million dollars in assets and is headquartered in Watseka. The bank operates 7 full-service offices in Watseka, Danville, Clifton, Hoopston, Savoy, Bourbonnais, and Champaign, plus a loan production office in Osage Beach, Missouri. Iroquois Federal also offers a full line of insurance products through IF Insurance and wealth management services through Iroquois Financial. District number 249 Board of Ed sets budget hearing, approves handbook. By Kim Raby for the Times Republic. The Crescent Iroquois CUSD number 249 Board of Ed met Monday, August 18th. Steve Massey, board president, called the meeting to order at 6:01 p.m. Secretary Becky Dirks took roll call with Massey, Dirks, Aaron Hamilton, Tim Coleman, Candy Butzo, and Lee Medina responding. Also present was Superintendent/Principal Lucas Schroeder. Following the pledge to the flag, the board discussed non-action items. The Finance and Building and Grounds Committees will meet prior to the September 15th meeting. As for enrollment, CCGS is starting the new school year with the same number of students as were enrolled at the end of last year. In comparison, the K through 5 enrollment is only 4 students less than the 2011 school year. A thank you from the Fireball Festival 2025 committee was shared. From the superintendent's report, the board learned the old wooden piece of playground equipment has been taken down due to safety concerns. Transportation continues to be a struggle due to the need for another van driver. The budget is still working on. From the principal's report, Schroeder explained there will be no 2:10 p.m. dismissals this year, as the new end time for the day is 2:30. Backpack night took place August 14th. A teacher institute took place August 18th. The first day of student attendance was August 19th. Students were dismissed at 11:30 a.m., with the rest of the day being for school improvement planning. At the grade school, breakfast will be served from 7:30 to 7:50 a.m. Students will go to their classrooms at 7:55, and the tardy bell will sound at 8:05. Friday, August 29th, will be a half day with students dismissed at 11:30 and SIP for the rest of the day. When school dismisses at 11:30 a.m., no lunch will be served. There is no school Monday, September 1st, due to Labor Day. The board approved the following consent agenda items: minutes of the regular meeting conducted July 21st, the treasurer's report dated July 31st, the payment of bills dated August 18th, the impressed fund and petty cash reports of July 31st, leaving closed minutes closed, destruction of audio tapes older than 18 months, and the second reading of Press Plus Policy Update number 119. The board then approved the following: increasing substitute teacher pay to $165, the student handbook for fiscal year 2026, the budget hearing set for 5:55 p.m. Monday, September 15th, and a $2,000 donation from the Mary Helen Trust for the CCGS Library Program. The meeting adjourned at 6:27 p.m. with the next meeting set for Monday, September 15th. The budget hearing will take place at 5:55 p.m., followed by the meeting at approximately 6 p.m. Now to obituaries. Donna Jean Flesher was born on May 30th, 1947, to Sim Cliff and Vern Sather in Everett, Washington. Her father, a Washington native, fought in World War II as a combat veteran, spending a portion of his service as a prisoner of war. Her mother was a devoted wife, mother, and homemaker from Carthage, Illinois. Her parents met, married, and settled in Washington and welcomed her older brother, Lynn Sather, before Donna arrived. Donna was baptized at the Calvary Evangelical Norwegian Lutheran Church in Everett. Her baptism verse was Matthew 28:19. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. This was a charge that would stay with Donna for her entire life as an educator and example to many of how to lead a life guided by the principles of love, kindness, and faithfulness. Donna's beloved younger brother, Terry, joined the family before they relocated to Crescent City, Illinois, to be closer to family and for her father to join the rural mail carriers. After a few years in Crescent City, the Sathers purchased a piano, which was Donna's first love. She excelled in Crescent City schools and enjoyed being a student, practicing in theater, choir, band, and a variety of social activities. Her love of music led her to the John Philip Sousa Award as a senior and further cemented her passion as a musician. As a child, Donna was active in the church her family attended, St. Peter's Lutheran Church. She was confirmed at the church and was a devoted servant of the music and children's ministries, playing the organ, teaching Sunday school and vacation Bible school. The verse her pastor chose for the confirmation class was Ephesians 2:8-9. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Donna took this passage to heart and rarely accepted accolades when sharing her God-given talents. She had faith that her contributions to the world would impact others in a meaningful way, and she was right. Donna attended Olivet Nazarene College as a music/music education major. Donna's skill and love of the piano thrived and led her to teaching younger students to play while she was at Olivet and beyond. While enjoying the 1968 Christmas season, Donna was introduced to the love of her life, Bob Flesher, at a Christmas card exchange. Bob and Donna dated for 2 years and were married on August 15, 1970. They decided to make their home in Watseka, Illinois, where they have lived for 55 years. Both focused on faithfully serving their community, Bob as a sheriff's police officer and Donna as a second grade teacher in Sheldon, Illinois. All the while, Donna was an active musician in the church community as an organist and pianist. If you know her, it was likely that she played the piano for your wedding. Her girls learned the love songs of the 80s right alongside nursery rhymes. Before long, Donna paused her career in teaching all the little children to focus on being mom to Kristen Ann. A few years later, Beth Suzanne made their family complete. Donna continued to teaching piano to students in their home and playing professionally while the girls were little. Once both girls were in school, Donna returned to the formal classroom and taught elementary school music and ultimately landed in kindergarten until her retirement from Watseka's Unit 9 school district. The third love of Donna's life was her grandson, Peter Bradley. The consummate teacher, Donna was the most wonderful grandma. She reveled in playing with Peter, doing art projects, making up songs with him, and most importantly, showing off pictures anytime she could. They shared a special connection through their love of music. Donna was a kind-hearted wife, mother, grandmother, teacher, and friend. Her legacy is one of loving and nurturing. Her compassion for others and music are the cornerstones she leaves for those who loved her and the hundreds of students who benefited from her gentle guidance. She loved nature, creatures great and small, and the sea. Donna goes to her heavenly home to see her parents, Sim and Fern Sather, and her brothers, Lynn and Terry Sather. She is lovingly remembered by those still here, her husband Bob, her daughters Kristen Brad Schultens, Beth Christy Martin, and her grandson Peter. Visitation will be held on Sunday, August 24th, 2025, from 3 p.m. to 6 p.m. at the Knapp Funeral Home in Watseka, and also 1 hour prior to the funeral service at the church. Funeral services will be held on Monday, August 25th, 2025, at 11 a.m. at Calvary Lutheran Church in Watseka, with Reverend Aaron Uphoff officiating. Burial will follow in the St. Peter Lutheran Cemetery south of Crescent City. Memorials may be made to Faith Place Memorial Care in Danforth, where Donna lived for the last 3 years of her life. The care, compassion, and commitment to serving others mirrors Donna's guiding life principles. Prior to living at Faith Place, Donna volunteered her time and talents entertaining residents for many years. Please share a memory of Donna at www.knappfuneralhomes.com. Drainage Commissioner appointments approved by Iroquois County Board. From staff reports, at the Iroquois County Board meeting August 12th, the following daring commissioner appointments were made. Thomas Fry of Donovan as Drainage Commissioner of Martinton Drainage District No. 2, with a term to expire the first Monday of September 2028. Brad Braymeyer of Cisna Park as Drainage Commissioner of Pond Lily Drainage District with a term to expire the first Monday of September 2028. Harlan Zebart of Wellington as Drainage Commissioner of Union Drainage District No. 1 of Stockland and Prairie Green Township with a term to expire the first Monday of September 2028. Dean Leminger of Clifford as Drainage Commissioner of Iroquois Drainage District No. 2 with a term to expire the first Tuesday of September 2028. Iroquois West Music Boosters conduct Broadway Review at Festival. The 2025 Gilman Old Boys and Girls Reunion returned after 10 long years this past Thursday through Sunday. They offered a lot of activities for everyone in the family. According to information provided on the night of August 9th, to close out the entertainment on the main stage, the Iroquois West Music Boosters conducted a Broadway review. It featured performers from Watseka Central School District, IW School District, alumni of IW and CHS, Cisna Park, Melvin, and a couple performers from Indiana. The event had 19 performers that took on 27 Broadway numbers. It features songs from Into the Woods, Matilda, Shrek the Musical, Waitress, Hairspray, Mean Girls, Hamilton, SpongeBob the Musical, Gypsy, The Notebook, The Musical, A Man of No Importance, Cats, Chicago, The Greatest Showman, Cabaret, Frozen the Musical, The Addams Family, Ghost the Musical, Les Miserables, Beauty and the Beast, Anastasia, Dear Evan Hansen, Thoroughly Modern Millie, and Grease. Originally, the IW Music Boosters had approached the OBOG committee about doing a fundraiser during the reunion. The Boosters were talking about doing a Broadway review at the high school in Gilman. The committee then asked the Boosters if they would be interested in having the event on the main stage instead of at the school. The committee would need entertainment, and if the Boosters could make that happen, it wouldn't split the crowds from the downtown area. The Boosters agreed and got to work. The evening of the event brought some heat from Mother Nature, but the performers and audience still managed to have a great evening. Robert Sin approached the Boosters organizer with news that he needed to make an announcement during the show. He went up on stage and took care of some housekeeping items, and then proceeded to present the IW Music Boosters with a check for $1,500. The Boosters were very appreciative and thanked the OBOG committee for the opportunity to put the show together. The funds will be used to assist the IW Music Department students with various needs, from helping pay for musicals, instrument repairs, music camps, need to feed events, etc. It was a great night that ended with all the performers back up on stage singing a final group number, Hopelessly Devoted to You, from Grease, and they asked the audience to join in singing along. This has been Lincoln. My name is Lincoln. Reading for you the Iroquois County Times-Republic for Thursday, August 21st, 2025. Take care, and I'll read to you next week.